Blog Talk Radio.
Who'd you get rid of that one? Right. Good morning, everyone. And once again, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that all is well this morning. And my prayer is that all are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's going to take for us to make heaven our home. All right. I'm going to be sharing with you this morning from Acts chapter 19. We're moving on through Acts. Some of these chapters are short, some of them are long. We covered the first part of 19 a little bit. It's for a different purpose. So I'm going to start right with verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And you know, we've got so many churches today that are teaching nothing at all about the Holy Spirit. And I don't understand as much as there is about him in the scriptures, how they can continue going all around him but never teaching about him or believing that you need to receive him. And then we have those that believe that just because you're baptized in water, right then, immediately, you're given the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Well, most of our churches today don't baptize right to start with. They baptize wrong. But it's hard to get people to understand these things, because they don't walk with God. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And even some that believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and all, but what they have been taught, they've got him limited. Now, he's not limited. The only limitation he has is because man will not put their faith in him. You say, oh, well, no. Now, like, a lot of people will. They'll put their faith in him. No, they don't. Yet, they want to claim to be a child of God. And they'll go to church every time church doors open, every how many times that is, because today that's getting to be less and less all the time. You know, if the apostles, disciples, and the Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth today, it would be hard for them to believe how far down the churches has came. Of course, they know because they're seeing all this. But you and I, we are here, and we should be able to see and understand that you can't do it without fulfilling the plan of salvation according to Acts 2:38. And that's when you can understand this word of God. That's why, you know, the scripture tells us, we have eyes, but we don't see. We've got ears, and we don't hear. But it's because we're not hearing the right things and hearing the right understanding. Now, verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They haven't even heard about him now. Yet they are proclaiming to be believers in Christ. But you see, their teaching has not been accomplished yet fully. It's going to be, and it will be right here with them. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. This lets you and I know that when you have been baptized wrong, you need to get it redone. Because you see, before they are going to lay hands on them for the Holy Spirit, for them to receive the Holy Spirit, they're going to re-baptize them. Because we are not baptized for repentance, which is what John's baptism was. We are baptized to put on Christ. We have a whole chapter on it. I'm not going there right now, but there is a whole chapter. Chapter 6 of Romans tells you what is taking place when you are being baptized. Now, but anyway, we find here in verse 5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, not only are we to be baptized in Jesus' name, because we are putting on his death and his resurrection. We're putting on his death. We're being buried with him by baptism. That's why you are immersed, not sprinkled. You don't bury anything by just putting a fingerful of dirt on top of it. And we got churches that they won't take you down front and sprinkle you. That's not baptizing you. And then they're going to sprinkle you, and they're going to do it by John's baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you have actually received nothing, only you've been deceived into believing a lie. There was a time that baptism was right. That was during John's time here on earth while he was serving under the law. He was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ and helping people to understand there was one coming after him that was a lot stronger and a lot better because he was the Son of God. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ then fulfilled the law. And we have been under grace. And we are under the New Testament laws, which is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way for you and I except through him, putting him on, bringing him into our lives, and being totally committed unto him. And we're finding very, very few today that is walking in commitment unto him, let alone total commitment. That means that you have gone to the Lord in prayer, and you have gave him everything that is yours. You've put everything in his hands. You put your paycheck in his hands. You put your home in his hands. You put your family in his hands. Complete. And you let him know, Lord, here I am. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll say what you want me to say. And he will pour out blessings on you that will be hard for you to even understand. It'll take time, but it will give you a feeling that you have never had before. I know, because you see, I have lived it. I made that statement to him. I made the statement, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll say what you want me to say. because for one, I ain't smart enough to say anything that the Spirit don't reveal to me. That's where my knowledge of this Word of God, that's where it comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that's where yours will come from. Your understanding of the Word of Almighty God will come through Him. If it don't come through Him, you're going to get some wrong understanding. Oh, now, Pastor, that's awful hard. No, that's the Word of God. That's why He was sent back here. He was sent back here to be our comforter, to be our guide, and to bring us the power of Almighty God to work through us. He is the one that brings those gifts that God has given to you and I and has given to the church. You see, the church today should have gifts working in them. But how many churches do you know of that actually have them? You'll see some even on television proclaiming they've got them. But you can go to that church and you'll never see them. Because they don't. And it is a shame. But you see, God put into the church, and you find it in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and start with verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. What did He put in the church? First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. But we can each carry several of them if that's God's will for what He has for you and I to do. Because He's only going to give us the gifts that we use and are able to use in the ministry that He gives to us. Now, you may not be a pastor. You may not be a teacher in a group, but you are to share the Word of God, and you are to be able to let the Spirit work through you, because you are to have that Spirit in you, and you let that Spirit work through you to do the work that God is wanting done. And when that happens, everything will work for good for you and your life. He goes on there in 30 and he says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, we all should speak with tongues if you are a born-again child of God. Because if you are a born-again child of God, then you have the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you have that, then yes, you will speak with tongues. But He tells you that even though with them, He tells you to covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, we'll be getting into that down the road. But you'll find that more excellent way that he's talking about is charity. Now, that charity that he's talking about, not what you give away out here, but it's godly love. It's that love of God and godly love toward mankind. That's what charity is. Now, we found out there in verse 5 that when they heard him speaking, they were baptized in the name of Jesus in 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. You see, we don't know how long it was between the time they were baptized and the time that they received the Holy Spirit, but they do know there was a time in between. They didn't get it just right then, the moment they were baptized, because they were baptized. You see, God's not going to give you anything that you're not going to use. He just will not do that. He'll not give you something you will not use. Now, sometimes it's weeks after you're baptized. Sometimes it's months. And sometimes it's years. Because you have things to learn in order to be able to receive it, to accept it, and let alone listen to it. But yet, it will walk beside you as you learn and as you try. Now, all the men were about 12. There was about 12 of these men that received that. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Paul is spending 3 months here at this synagogue, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. This is why you and I are told in the Word of God to walk boldly. We are to speak boldly because we are to speak nothing but the truth of God's Word. And in a lot of circles, in fact, today, in most circles, the truth of His Word, they don't want to accept. You'll be laughed at, ridiculed, lied on, and lied to, and lied about. But you don't let that bother you. And you keep right on loving those that are doing those things against you, even. You don't like the sin they're doing, but you love that sinner. And you pray for it. You pray for that sinner that the Holy Spirit will be able to reach his heart and turn him around and bring him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or her, whichever the case may be. You see, he has a job for every one of us. People tell me that I'm against women. No, I'm not. But I am a believer in women working according to the Word of God and not doing things they're doing today. Because the Word says, no, don't do it. But they don't listen to it. They're going right on. Because the woman today is trying to take over and take the place of man And a lot of men are allowing it to happen. They're letting the women run their lives instead of them taking their responsibility, because the word says you and I. The head of Jesus is the Father. The head of man is Jesus. And the head of woman is man. It is his responsibility for the family to see that the family is brought up according to the word of Almighty God. It's his responsibility to see that they go and attend church and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because children that don't know anything about it, they have no chance of ever making heaven their home. They're going to go their own way, live their own lives, doing all the wrong things that they want to do, and thinking nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty. That's why today we have so many of our family members living together without the benefit of marriage. Daughters got boyfriends. They go together for a little while. And they decide, well, we'll just move in together. And they do so. That is fornication. And the Bible and the Word of God tells us that no fornicator can enter the kingdom of God. Now, is there a way out for them? Yes. They can do the right thing and either get married or separate and ask the Lord, go to him and ask for forgiveness for the sin you have already committed. But they don't do it. But our young people are, that's getting to be one of the most popular things going today. As our daughters and sons and daughters, as they date, are moving in together and living as a couple. And that is wrong. The most of it is because they don't know any different, because they were never taught about it. We are to see that they attend church, Sunday school, and all. But a lot of our churches today not even having Sunday school. And they have one service a week. Oh, you know, I am a child of God. I go to church every Sunday. And then I do what I want to do the rest of the week because I don't have time for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ain't going to make heaven your home either. That is a fact. And it's in his word. Now, we find that Paul spent 3 months now there in the synagogue. Verse 9, it says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. You see, he spent 3 months there in the synagogue, but there are still those that are not believers, and they're trying everything they can to down him and what he is teaching. Verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. He spent 2 more years there because of that. But now, most of the population has heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't mean they all turned to him, but they'd all heard. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. God is working special miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, I know a few today that is teaching this, and you can call them and even receive it. This special miracle that he was working by the hands of Paul, verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Handkerchiefs and aprons that would come from Paul was bringing healing. But you know, even with things working like that, it still takes faith. Now, we have people today that will send you a call that has been prayed over and anointed with oil, and they will mail it to you, and you are to carry that on your body and to be healed. But you know, it's really not that apron and that oil. It is that faith in Jesus. That faith you have that will do the healing. Now, receiving the handkerchief or whatever doesn't hurt. It might help build your faith, help in that way, but you have to have that faith. Just as the paralytic that was brought to where Jesus was in this home preaching or teaching, and they went up on the roof because they couldn't get to him any other way. They went up on the roof, tore a hole in the roof, and let the man down on his bed. But what did Jesus say when he saw him? Because these four men, they had the faith in knowing that if they got this man to Jesus, that he would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, spent all she had with doctors, still had that issue of blood. But she said to herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she set forth to do it. And she done it, and she was healed that very instantly. It takes faith to receive anything from Almighty God. We are given a lot of promises in His Word, and He will keep every one of them. But you have to have faith to receive it. And what is faith? Is it just words that you could say, well, you know, I believe that Jesus was here. I believe that he was the Son of God. And, I believe he can heal. But what your heart's saying, well, yeah, you know, he heals others. But now maybe he don't want to heal you. And when you go to thinking that way, you're not going to receive that healing because the faith is gone. You turned it off. Here in 13, says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, extortionists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now you got this group. They're going to take it on themselves. They're not believers, but they're making a mockery of it, really. And what happened to them? 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Seven of them. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? How are you standing today with Jesus? If you're talking to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and he's not saved, that spirit that is and with him, is he really going to know who you are? Is he going to really know that you are a child of the living God? Because if he doesn't, the same thing could happen to you that happened to those seven men. There in 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Evil spirit did it. You know, there's some things that it's hard to believe, but you accept it because it's in the Word of God. And if you will stand in faith, you'll be surprised at the things that you will see in your lifetime. I was called to a home by a dad to his son, 14-year-old son, run to the house from where he had been, screaming as he crossed the yard, as the demons was tearing his shirt off of him, he hit the front screen door so hard that he not only knocked it off its hinges, but knocked it through the living room and into the kitchen. A 14-year-old did that. And his dad called me. So I went, and in talking with him, I found out what the cause was. His mother was a witch. And I'm talking about a true witch. Not one that just played make-believe. But she had that spirit in her. And her son was being bugged by it. I can take you today, put you in my car and take you to their house. And he'll greet me, be tickled to see me. But she will stay hid from me. Now, here, 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. You see, when God will work something through you that others see, it brings forth his power. And as it tells us here, that his name was magnified, was multiplied out there, built up. In 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. You see, that is another thing that's missing today among so many people. If you are truly a believer and a born-again child of God, you are out there working for him. You are committed not only to him, but you are committed to do his work that he wants done through you. You don't just sit back on the sidelines and say, well, somebody will do it. No, go do it. 19. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. These books that they brought, this curious art, this witchcraft books and sorcery and all, and they burn them, but they could have been sold for 50,000 pieces of silver, which today would equal about $1 million. But they wouldn't sell it. Wasn't getting rid of it. they had become believers, so they was getting rid of it. They burned. Nobody else is going to get a hold of it. Now, 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see, this is what it takes. It takes us out there working, telling others about Jesus and doing everything we can do to get them into the church. Get them into where they can hear the word of God. And if we don't, then, and they're lost, their blood is on our hands. But if we are getting the word out there to them, and they just don't listen, that's between them and God. And our hands are clean. But when we sit back and we don't do anything, we're not sharing this word, and we're not trying to get them into the church for them to hear. You know, that's like I was asked, how do you build a church? That's where you build it. Each one is out there speaking the word of God and sharing with others and inviting them into the service to come and be part of the family of God, to where they too can learn. And that's the way a church is built. And by being a loving church and a church that is there to help each other. Now, we are to help people, even those that are not believers, when we can. But our first priority are to those that are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our first priority. Helping those that are part of the church that is in need. These are the reasons for the church. Is sharing that love of God and our love for each other and being there as a guide and as a helping hand when needed. And this time we all need help. If it hadn't have been for my $2, I don't know what I would have done this past couple of months. Now, 21. After these things were ended, Paul proposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Paul is also another one that we will find knows when his time to go home to be with the Lord is near. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. We don't know how long that season was. It just says a season right there. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. What way? About the things he was teaching? They were still stirring up a lot of problems. Now, Mark 24. Says, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. I'm going to stop right here. And we'll get into that this evening and continue on with that, because this is a whole another thing, and there's a lot of good things here. Now, a lot of good things for us to learn, put it that way. Because some of the things are good, some of the things are bad, but we need to know about them both. You see, we need to know good and bad, because we need to know what not to do, and we need to know what we are to do. So we're going to stop right there, be picking up there this evening, 5 o'clock, God willing, if he don't change it on me between now and then. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to stay with us throughout this day. And Father, we give you thanks for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. But let this day, Father, be a day for you. Keep us with you, Father, throughout this whole day. Teaching us, Father, other things that we need to know for our own lives, and also to help us to share with others. Because, Father, as we grow in the family, let us also grow, Father, in strength, in knowledge, in wisdom, so that we can be better workers in the field of harvest. Turn those from evil to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, so that they also can find salvation. And for those, Father, that have started along the way, help us to keep them in our prayers, Father. Keep them learning each and every day more and more of your word, of your ways, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and how things work, Father, in their lives, and how they can be used to help someone else. Now, Father, for those of us here in this ministry, Father, Dennis Lee, Kenny Powers, James Taylor, Terry Coates, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Sue and David Branson, all of our families, Father, our husbands and wives, our grandchildren, our children, our great-grandchildren, our uncles and aunts, cousins. Father, we don't want to see any of them lost and miss making heaven their home. We pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them, and that they will listen, Father, and come to know that there's something they need more in their lives than what they have. And that something is the Lord Jesus Christ. that they'll turn to Him, Father. And that they'll invite Him into their lives. And go on to fulfill that plan of salvation. Of becoming a born-again child of God. So they also can make heaven their home. Father, watch over us this afternoon now. Bring us all back together again. P.M. this evening, Eastern Time, where we can once again be back into your word. We love you, Father. We love the Holy Spirit. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know, Father, that all things are through Him. Father, it's in His name, that sweet, precious name of Jesus, that we ask this. Amen. Oh.
Yes,
well, yeah, we do that.